not sure if this is a word of knowledge. If it applies to you, go ahead and receive it. This is what I was beginning to get. Some say the situation's hopeless. Some say there's no way out. But they don't know that I've come on the scene. They don't know that I have made my appearance, says the Lord. They don't understand the things of the supernatural because their eyes are focused on that which passes away. And when you see that which passes away, it will pass away. It will decline. It will decrease because it is passing away. But I am on the scene. And I uphold all things by the word of my power, declares the Lord. For unless I withdraw my word, it will not fail. It will not diminish. But I will cause it to increase. And I will cause your situation, I will cause you to have victory in that cause. I will cause you to overcome because you don't look at that which is passing. You don't look at that which is fading, but you look upon my glory. You look upon my goodness. My goodness will sustain you, and my goodness will lift you up. My goodness will cause you to triumph over every weapon of the enemy. For I have gone before you, declares the Lord. And those who follow me will walk in my victory. And they shall see and behold the deliverance of the servants of the king. Praise you, God. Praise you, Father. Glory, 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 glory. For it is not finished, declares God. I haven't said it's over. I haven't said this is the end. I've said this is the beginning. This is when all things become new. All things become fresh again. So let your heart become tender to me again. Return to your first love, and I will lift you up. Return to me, declares the Lord, and you shall see your dreams being revisited. You shall see your visions coming to life again. For I have not finished, and I have not declared it to be the end. But I've said I will put you over again and again. Are you ready for the word this morning? Let's start with our favorite verse, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. Now, we've been talking about the law of the Spirit. I'm hoping to get through this today since we're going to be gone for the next couple of weeks. But our founding verse for the law of the Spirit, or the direction of the leading of the Spirit, has been 2 Corinthians 3:17. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And it goes along with triumph. When you have triumph, you have liberty. When you have liberty, you have triumph because you've overcome the works of the enemy. 2 Corinthians 3:5-6 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, or is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not the letter, but of the Spirit. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, liberty in the context of 2 Corinthians is the freedom to step from the shadow of the law of Moses into the light it foreshadowed. This triumph of 2 Corinthians 2:14 is freedom from sin, from death, and condemnation of the law. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. We just got started on this last week, but we're going to kick off on Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. It says, there is therefore, now there's two covenants. We're ministers of the new covenant. There's a new thing in the earth. It happened about 2,000 years ago, but there's a new thing. And many Christians, I don't think we understand the new covenant. I don't think we understand the new thing that God is doing, because we keep living the old way and we keep going back into the prior activities and prior deeds. And I'm not talking about sin, but justification of our flesh. We keep wanting to go back to that. But there's a new covenant. And if there's a new covenant from God, it presupposes that the new covenant is better than the old covenant. You understand that? The old is passing away, the new has come. If you have new clothes and your old clothes are shredded, what are you going to wear to go out? The new clothes. Why? They're smart. They look good. You look better in them. The old clothes are faded. They're worn out. They've got tears and holes in them. It's like, wear the new stuff. And if you're like most of us, you don't even keep the old stuff around. You roll it up and throw it out in the trash. I'm just haul it away. I don't even want to sit because I got new stuff. And we ought to be strutting our new stuff. We ought to be strutting the new covenant of God. We ought to be walking in that and appreciating it and living in this new covenant. Well, what is this new covenant? He talks about it in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now let's go ahead and read verse 2 with that. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now here's the old and the new covenant. The new covenant is the Spirit, is the law of the Spirit. There's a law. There's a pattern to this. There's a way that the law of the Spirit operates, but there's still the law of sin and death. But it says if we live by the law of the Spirit, by the new covenant, we are free from the law of sin and death. I love Deuteronomy. It says, this day I set before you life and death. And it gives you the answer. Choose life. Amen. Is that difficult? Choose life. I mean, not only does God give us an open book exam, he gives you the answers. Amen. And yet, so many people want to live under the law of sin and death. They don't want to live by the law of life. They don't want to live by the grace of God. They want to live by self-justification. They want to live, well, I've done so many things right. And you see this in ways that we don't always understand. But when you start thinking, I deserve this. God owes me. You know, you hear people say, well, that person's been in church all their life. Why wouldn't God heal them? All those comments are from the law of sin and death. All those comments, you're living by the law. Well, I've done this, so I deserve that. That's law. A workman may be worthy of his hire, but boy, when you know the boss, you get extra favors. Hello? And most of us, we're willing to work in the field for a just pay, but we're not really working to build a relationship with the employer. I'll put it this way, I don't want to chase too many bunnies today, but I was talking several years ago to a business person, and they said, I desperately need someone to help me with my business. I said, well, can't you find anybody? She says, I've hired people. And he says, one of them ripped me off for about $12,000. They took money out of the cash register. They took inventory home with them. And she said, it took me a while to kind of find out what was going on. She said, I knew I kept losing money, but I didn't know where. And she finally started going through the records and the books, and she found things were just disappearing. And she confronted the person about it and said, yeah, so what? Now, she lost about $12,000. She said, I would love to hire somebody again, but she says, I haven't found anybody I can trust with my business when I'm not here. See, she wants to get paid, but she's going to give herself favors because she doesn't know the boss and doesn't respect the boss. Now, one of the tests of Scripture is that in order to have something that God would give you, you've got to prove yourself faithful in what doesn't belong to you. And it's amazing the number of businesses that are looking for honest people with integrity. And if they find those, they will get promoted. And so many people just want to live and work for the wage. And when they go home, that's it. We do it with God. We do it in the natural. We do it in the spiritual. And both ways do not lead to life. He says, we need to walk according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus has made me free of the law of sin and death. I have liberty from the law of sin and death. Now go to verses 3 and 4. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Now, if the law could set you free from sin, it would be something. But the law cannot set you free from sin. For the law, well, I don't want to get ahead. The law condemns. It, in 2 Corinthians, it's referred to as the ministry of condemnation. The ministry of death is the law of the letter. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And every time we go back under the law of the letter, we die. Part of us dies. It says the law could not make us free because it was never intended to make us free. It was, well, let me give you the three purposes of the law. Number one, it reveals God's nature as perfect and holy. When you look at the law, no one can approach him because he's holy. And unrighteousness, now think about this with your new birth even. Unrighteousness cannot approach God. Now, if you're unrighteous, you can't come boldly to the throne room. Because if you do, you'll die. You'll get zapped. If you are unrighteous, you cannot pray to God. He won't hear the prayer of an unrighteous man. Well, what are we going to do? Well, how many of you pray? How many of you know that God hears you? How many of you feel like you have access to God? Now, why is that? Is it because you are perfect, that you've never made a mistake? No. But now, are you righteous? Yeah, our righteousness is not of ourselves. Like 2 Corinthians said, Paul says, our sufficiency is not of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. Jesus was made sin with our sin, and we were made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Our righteousness is not of yourself. And every time you try to accumulate righteousness based on your behavior or your good deeds or your abilities or your efforts or your education or your giftings or your ministry, whatever, you're living under the law of condemnation. You're judging yourself. Because if you put yourself under that law, then if you break part of it, you're guilty of all of it. All of it. If you break, that's what the Bible says. You break one part of the law, if you're going to live by the law and you're going to justify yourself, you break one part of it, you're guilty of all of it. So our righteousness is not determined by how perfect we are or how right we are, but it's determined by our faith in Jesus Christ that he has made the sacrifice for us. So the first thing about the law, it tells us how holy God is, and you don't. You cannot approach God by your own effort. You cannot come before him by your own ability. You have nothing of value to give to him because he's holy. And he's holy without you. See, some of us say, oh, God needs us. No, he doesn't. He wants you, but he doesn't need you. He wants to share himself with you. But he does not need you. He is complete without you. See, this is another aspect of the love of God. He doesn't need you, but he still sent his son to die for you. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. The second thing about the purpose of the law, it reveals that the law cannot make us clean. It only reveals our failures. Read it. If you do this, if you're unclean, if you do this, if you touch a dead body, if you say something wrong, if you come into contact with an unclean vessel, if you, it's like, well, what makes it unclean? Anything. Contact with the world makes it unclean. If you touch it, you're unclean. Oh, my goodness, how can I get over it? It's like, well, you got to offer a sacrifice. And this is the third thing that the law shows us. You cannot come to God without a sacrifice. In other words, you have to bring something to God in order to approach God. Aren't you glad Jesus went into the veil? Aren't you glad that Jesus offered and sprinkled his own blood on the altar to make that perpetual sacrifice? And he says, once this is done, you don't ever need to make another sacrifice because Jesus did it once for all. Woo! Glory to God. Once for all. It's a done deal. You cannot go back, oh Lord, if Jesus could be crucified again, I'd be clean. No, no, no. No, he did it once for all. What makes you clean, what makes you righteous, what makes you holy is belief in what Jesus has done for you. Our faith in his works versus our works. Now the disciples asked Jesus, well then who can be saved? And Jesus' reply is interesting. He says, with men this is impossible. In other words, there's no way you can save yourself. There's no gift you can bring. There's no deed you can do. There is no work you can do to impress God to save yourself. But with God, all things are possible. Our sufficiency is of him. Amen. And in verse 5, he goes on to say, for those who live according to the flesh, listen, set their mind on the things of the flesh. Now, let me say it like this. For those who live according to the law, set their minds on the things of the law. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, see, if I'm continually walking in condemnation, this will probably get some of us, if not all of us, in here. If you're walking in condemnation, you're walking in the law. You're walking in the flesh. And your flesh will always tell you, you messed up. Because the odds are probably 99.8% you will mess up. If not today, tomorrow, or the day after. You know, the Bible says, I write these things to you that you may sin not. And you say, well, that'll never happen. Yeah, it can. You can get to that place with God where you sin not. You walk with God. And you're conformed to his image. You can get to that place. I'm not saying a lot of people have, but you can get there. Because our righteousness is of him, not ourselves. And our faith constantly is cleansing us and constantly refreshing us, because if we're not walking by faith in God, we're walking in condemnation. And your flesh will always condemn you. You didn't say that right. You shouldn't have worn that color today. You shouldn't have said, you shouldn't have gone there. They're going to see you. It's like, man, the condemnation is all around us. Ever watch the news? Very seldom do you hear a good story. Everything is condemnation. Everything is wrong. Everything is messed up. Well, guess what? That's the world. And if you're going to live in the world, you will get contaminated by the world. But greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. See, we are in the world, but we're not of it. In other words, we are in the world. We're living in the world. We're dealing with the things of the world. But God has lifted you above the things of the world so that you don't have to be contaminated by the junk going on in the world. You don't have to succumb to the pressure of the world. You can live above it. Well, how do I do that? It's called faith. It's called trusting God. It's knowing that he has made all the difference, and all I can do is trust him. Do what I understand to do. Do the best of my ability. But I trust God to make up anything that I lack. And he will. He'll give you favor. He'll open doors for you that no man can open, that you have no ability on your own to open, but God will open the door for you, amen? He goes on to say in verse 6, for to be carnally minded, fleshly minded, is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The word life there is one of my favorite words. It's Zoe. If I will walk in the Spirit and be spiritually minded, I will walk in Zoe, the life that God possesses. The life that only God possesses. See, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, Jesus told Nicodemus that in order to see the kingdom of God, he had to be born from above. He said, Nick, you can't even see it. He said, well, what do you mean? He says, you have to be born from above. Now we retranslate that in the New King James Version, but and I don't like the new translation as I begin to understand. You've got to be born from above. In other words, you have got to look to God to be able to see the kingdom of heaven. You can't see it on your own. You can get a piece of paper out and you can draw it out and map it out, but until you have heard it from God, you can't see what God has in store for you. You've got to be born from above. Later on in his discussion with Nicodemus, he said, Nick, you got to be born again. Hello. He said, well, how can one be born again? Nick, are you that dull? Even the Jews understood what it meant to be born again. It was in their terminology. I didn't know this till several months ago, but every new moon was a new birth. And they referred to it as the new birth, the new beginnings. Every new moon, everything started fresh all over again. And Jesus is talking to this biblical scholar this person who knows and understands the law. And he says, Nick, you don't know what it means to be born again? It happens every month. 12 times a year you guys go through this cycle. 12 times a year you go in the temple, you go through this process of renewing with the new moon. Every 12 months or every 12 times a year you go through offering the sacrifices for this new beginning. And now you're telling me you don't know what I'm talking about? Oh, Nick. Man, you can just almost see Jesus shaking his head. Oh, you hard-headed people. You're watching it. You are doing the traditional stuff, and you don't get what you're doing. He said, Nick, you got to be born from above. You got to have a new birth. Now keep your place there, and you can leave there now. Go with me to Galatians 5. I'm trying to go through this quickly, but I want you to get this. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul writes, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Isn't that a curious word, liberty? He will always lead us in triumph. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He says, therefore, stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't go back to that old way of, once you've been set free in the new covenant, don't go back to the old. Don't start living the way that you used to live, trying to justify yourself, trying to give every excuse that you can. Well, I didn't do this because blah, 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 blah. It doesn't matter. You're living by the old covenant of condemnation, the ministry of death. And it's like, why do you want to live there? Why do you want to go back there when there's a new covenant? When there's something that's as full of grace and mercy and truth, amen? He goes on to say, let me say this first. If we are free, we should live free. Now, under the law tells us if you earn your freedom, you will become free. If you can earn it. If you can do enough to earn your freedom, then you can purchase your freedom and you can be free. But grace says you have been made free by the work of Jesus at the cross. And Paul is telling us we need to stand fast in Christ's liberty. See, grace has already paid the ransom. The law is you've got to pay it. You've got to earn it. You've got to do enough good deeds to earn your liberty. And you never can. Because in part, you don't know what the price is. You don't know how much you're worth. But God does. You are worth his son. You are worth Jesus dying for you. Hardly does a good or a man lay down his life for a good man, but Jesus laid down his life for you while we were hating God. While we were in rebellion to God, Jesus still died for you. He died to set you free. He died to release you. He died to break that cycle of death and sin. He died to get you free of that. Stand fast in that liberty. Don't go back to the old way of living. Now, the law commands but cannot enable you. The law says, do it this way. Well, how do I do it that way? That's up to you. See, the law doesn't enable you to do it. It just commands you to do it. Be holy, for I am holy. How can I be holy for God is holy? Because I can't make myself holy. What am I going to have to do to be holy? Well, you've got to live right. You've got to brush your teeth. You've got to change your clothes. And we come up with this long list. And the Jews came up with 613 laws in order to be holy. And if they could keep all 613, they were still not holy enough. Still couldn't earn their way in. Grace says, I've already paid your price. I've already made the opportunity for you to enter because it's not based on what you do. It's based on what Christ has done for you. Faith receives what Christ has done, and therefore we can walk with boldness into the Holy of Holies. We can come before our Father and say, God, I'm here because Jesus paid my way. I've got a ticket. I've got a pass. I can come. Because he knows who you are. Jesus knows your name. That's an awesome thing in itself. This is what C.H. McIntosh said. The law demands strength from one who has none and curses him if he cannot display it. The gospel gives strength to one who has none and blesses him in the exhibition of it. I like that. Galatians 5:4, says, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. If every time you try to justify yourself, you have fallen from grace. Well, how do I get back into grace? Jesus, help me. Jesus, make an opportunity for me. I'm back into grace. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. I'm back in grace. Jesus, I thank you, God, that you love me to give your life for me, and I receive that new life in me. I receive what you did on the cross. I receive my forgiveness. I receive the strength and the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm back in his grace. Now, what did I do? I only believed and trusted in what Jesus has already done. I am not doing anything out of my own effort because I can't do anything. But God, again, has made the way. 1 Timothy, oh, I like this. I got to get this in. First, keep your place in Galatians. But 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Now, get this. You who want to live under the law, you that say, well, this grace stuff just sounds too good. I still think we need to earn our salvation. Listen to this. Verse 8. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Knowing this, this is how you use it lawfully, that the law is not made for a righteous person. See, if I'm walking in righteousness, I'm going to do what God calls me to do. If I'm walking in righteousness, I'm not going to break my neighbor's window. If I'm walking in righteousness, I'm not going to be stealing. I'm not going to be coveting what he has. I'm not going to be thinking that God is out to get me all the time. I'm walking in righteousness. I'm walking as he would walk, with Christ living on the inside of me. But he says, listen, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate. So every time you go back to the law to justify yourself, you are saying, I am lawless and I am insubordinate to God. Now, how many of you want to make that confession? I just don't have any laws at all. Nothing restrains me. I can do whatever I want to do. I rebel against God. Are you going to confess that? Well, no, I'm a believer. What is the confession of salvation? Jesus is Lord. That makes you righteous. But now, every time I go back and try to justify myself by the law, I'm telling God, I'm in rebellion against you, God. Well, that's not what I meant, but that's what you're doing. You've got to choose which covenant you live under. You've got to make that choice. I'm going to live by faith. He goes on to say, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. See, the law was made for those that have no law. The law is made for those who have no God. They've made their own God. They've made a God that can justify them. But if you're going to serve the one true God, the law is not made for you. Why do you want to put yourself under something that was not made for you? Go to Galatians 3. Back to Galatians. I told you, hold your place here. Go to Galatians 3. Oh, this is rich. I'm just going to have to read this and not comment on it too much. But I think you can pick up on this. Galatians 3:1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? That's witchcraft. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Were you born again by your works or were you born again by believing on God? Did you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit by works or did you believe God? Are you righteous by the works of your flesh or by believing what Jesus did for you on the cross? He goes on to say in verse 3, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. See, how many of the 613 laws did Abraham keep? Anybody want to venture an answer? You say none? Abraham didn't keep any of the 613 laws. Why? They weren't given yet. God didn't lay out to Abraham, "Now, Abraham, I want to call you my friend, but you've got to obey these 613 laws." They weren't given. Abraham was justified not by the law, but by faith. Only those who believe are the sons of Abraham. When you put yourself back under the law, you're saying, "Abraham's not my father." Now you can understand why Jesus tells the Pharisees, "Your father's not Abraham." "Oh, yeah, he is." No, your father's a devil. He's a liar from the beginning. In other words, you are lawless. You are insubordinate. Because you think that you can justify yourselves by the letter of the law. And you claim Abraham as your father? Remember he said, if Abraham were your father, you would do the deeds that Abraham did. What deed did Abraham do? He believed God. Isn't that easy? Now, I could ask you a real deep theological question, and there's a lot of debate over this, but I'll go ahead and risk it. Does the covenant of Moses override the covenant of Abraham? Well, I just said the newer always says the old isn't there. So I want to make you think on this a little bit. Well, the covenant of Moses is newer than the covenant of Abraham. Yeah, but the covenant of Moses was given because they refused to hear God. Think about it, at the mountain, they were insubordinate. "I'll give you the law." They were rebellious. "I'll give you the law." They were profane. "I'll give you the law." If they would have obeyed God, if they would have said, "We will listen to God, we want to hear God," the law of Abraham, the covenant of Abraham, would have been in effect and they would have been okay. And they would have become a nation of priests. Instead, they became a nation of self-justifiers. Because we're doing it on our own. We're going to prove ourselves that we're worthy of God. Good luck, because you're going to need it. So if you trust in anything other than Jesus, you're going to need luck. Luck is random chance. Throw the dice. If you get a 4 the hard way, a 3 and a 1, I don't know, maybe the hard way is 2 and 2. I don't know. But maybe if you got 4 dice, it's 4 ones. But if you draw the lucky number, that's luck. But see, grace is something that's sure. Because I believed in God. Woo! I'm a child of God. Because I believe in Him, I am a son of Abraham, the father of our faith. Verse 8 goes on to say, "And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand." See, Abraham had the gospel preached to him. We don't think about that. Jesus said, "Abraham saw my day and rejoiced in it." Why? He heard the gospel. Faith, Abraham, faith, believe me. Abraham wasn't perfect in the fact that he never made a mistake, but he was righteous because he walked by faith. And God provided everything that he needed. He goes on to say, he said, "Abraham the scripture foreseen that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed." Now, he didn't say that to Moses. He didn't say that about the law, but he said it to Moses, or said it to Abraham. Verse 9, "So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham." If you are of faith, you are said blessed. Some of you are blessed. If you are believing with Abraham, you are blessed. Say, "I am blessed."
I am blessed.
See, if you're living by the law, it's hard for you to say that. Because to be blessed by the law, I've got to do everything just right. Because, you know, God honors those who, you know, help themselves. That's not scripture. God blesses those who believe in him. So if I believe in God, I am blessed. I can walk and say, I am blessed. I am favored going in, going out. I am blessed by the presence of Almighty God. Mercy and goodness follow me all the days of my life. Well, that doesn't mean that they're trying to catch up with me. It means I walk in blessing. I walk in honor. I walk in the goodness of God. And everywhere I go, there's just a little remnant that remains, but I am walking in it. It's like the gown when you have great long flowing robes and the robe follows you on the ground. You know, it follows you, but it's with me. It's present with me wherever I go. When I go to Haiti, I'm blessed. When I go down to the grocery, I'm blessed. And the goodness and the mercy of God, they follow me because I'm walking in the blessing. Now, if I'm living by the letter of the law, I can't say I'm blessed because I've got to do it all right. I've got to have everything lined up. But I'm not walking by the law. I'm walking by the Spirit. Therefore, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit has set me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 10 in Galatians 3 says, for as many as are under the works of the law, now listen, for as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. If you try to live by the letter of the law, you put yourself under the curse because now you've got to keep every single law. You've got to do every single thing absolutely perfect or you are judged and condemned and found wanting. How many want the new covenant? Yeah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, he goes on to say in verse 11, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. That is, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? One last thing I want to share with you. Luke 4. Have you ever really listened to this? In the light that we're preaching, have you ever heard this? Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. I dare you to show me any condemnation in there. There's not one word of condemnation. And yet, many believe this was the core of the message that Jesus preached everywhere he went. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the reward of the gospel, of the Spirit of life. He has called me to heal the blind, to open up the prison doors, to set at liberty the captives. There is nowhere in there that there is any condemnation at all. So Jesus isn't condemning us. Where is the judgment? Where is the condemnation? John would later write, most assuredly I say to you, this is the words of Christ, John wrote down, 5:24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. Every time we live by try to justify ourselves, we're living in that ministry of condemnation. Jesus says, if you will believe in me, believe in the one who sent me, you shall have everlasting life, and you have passed. How many want to pass over, cross over? I don't mean die in the physical sense, but I mean cross over from death into life, from the curse into blessing. Believe God. It's that simple. And it's that decisive to believe in God. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Faith justifies us. Faith breaks the condemnation. If you're here this morning, you say, Lord, I've been walking in condemnation. I've been walking in guilt for all the mistakes I've made. And you, some of you can probably come up with a whole list of all the things you need to do right in order to get out of the fix that you're in. You need to trust God. You need to let Him be your Savior. Make Him your Lord and let Him be your Savior. Raise your hands with me. Repeat this after me. Father, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who died in my place that I might be free. He came to set the captive free. He came to bring the gift of liberty. Lord, I believe in you. I receive you into my life. I receive the liberty, the freedom. I believe by faith that Jesus has set me free. I will no longer live in condemnation, for I have passed over from death into life, from the curse into the blessing. And from this day forward, I will declare in every situation, at every opportunity, I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We are the blessed. We are the redeemed of the Lord God. We praise you, Lord. We are the blessed. We are not cursed. We are the blessed. And the blessing goes with us everywhere we go. The blessing flows out from us as it flowed from Jesus Christ. For we are the blessed. We are the head, not the tail. We are above and not beneath. We are more than world overcomers, more than world conquerors. We are the redeemed of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. See, this is our faith. This is our faith. Not just that when you die, you're going to heaven, but our faith is, I am the blessed because I am blessed in Christ Jesus. Woo! Glory to God. Father, we give you praise. We give you honor, God, that you are our blessing, that you are our inheritance, God, and you have given us all that you are if we will just walk in it. If we will just receive what you have done for us, God, we are free from every curse, from everything that's been spoken against us. We are free from every enemy, from every destructive thing, because we are the redeemed and we are the blessed. And for this, God, we praise you. That is by the work of Christ on the cross that we freely receive your mercy and your power in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.